blessing. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we were talking about his ascension into hell, and I know some people were, where are we getting that from, etc. So I thought I'd just touch base. I did some research on it and that type of thing. Really, the only place that says that is in the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed was written within 300 to 400 AD. And it was written in Greek. And the Greek word that they used was Hades, which meant death. So we have that. And remember our first week of class, we talked about creeds and how the creed is a map, right? And so, and the Apostles' Creed, of course, wasn't written by the apostles. So, there's six verses that kind of deal with that are the most popular for the subject. And one is Acts 2:31 and 32. He foresaw and spoke the resurrection of Christ, that he had not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Jesus God raised up, and all that are witnesses. So it says Hades there again and again. That was also means just death. And then Ephesians 4, he ascended on the high, led a host of captives, and gave gifts to men. Saying that he ascended also means that he descended. And this can talk about where we know that Christ was there in heaven in the beginning, and he descended when he was born and put on earth. And then the other passages are 1 Peter 4, which we talked about a little bit last week. And then you got Matthew 27. None of these verses really say hell, but I guess the verse that means the most to me is Luke 23:42 and 43. And Jesus said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So there you got Christ talking to the thief. And he says, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." And of course we know that Christ never lied, and I doubt very much he was going to lie 2 hours before his whole mission was complete. Okay, any questions on that? Okay. So now, this is our last week, so I'm going to hopefully talk about God in the spirit form, and then the Trinity, and hopefully stay out of trouble this week. So, so the Spirit, God the Spirit, is part of the Godhead, of course, and that the first mention of the Spirit is the Spirit hovering over the waters, and that's in Genesis 1, verse 2 already. And the Spirit, if you want to Google something, Google the Spirit in the Bible, and you will have a ton of verses to search. And some talk about, you know, the Spirit as the Holy Spirit, and some talk about just the Spirit as a person's soul or personality. But most of it is the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit and had the ability to do skills, or the Spirit was put on Balaam and he had insight, or so every time the Spirit came upon somebody, it helped them to accomplish a task and that type of thing, more so in the Old Testament. And I think, me personally, I think of the movie They Lived. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie. It was like a 1982-84 area. It was a John Carpenter film. They just came out with the green screen type of thing. That was pretty cool back then. If you watch it now, it's like, I really believe that. You know, it's really fakey. But it was about this guy, and he was hard up on his luck. and he comes into a town and he finds work. And a guy says, hey, we're sleeping in this camp. You can come over to our camp. So he goes over to the camp and he starts watching this church across the street. And it's kind of always, the choir was always singing and this kind of stuff. And he was always kind of suspicious what's going on at that church and blah, blah, blah. And then one day he sees guys taking packages out of the cardboard boxes and boxes out of the church, and they load it in the car and they take off, and 2 seconds later the cops come in and they raid the place. He's like, well, what's going on with that? You know, so he goes over there and he's a carpenter, right? Or no, I should take that back. He trips over some wires or something and he finds this secret compartment, and in there's some of these cases yet. And he opens them up and they're sunglasses. So he takes the box and he ditches it somewhere and he takes out a pair of glasses and he goes to town and he puts these glasses on and everything changes. All of a sudden the billboards don't have advertising that says obey on it or trust on it and work and sleep and all this kind of stuff. Takes glasses off, everything looks normal again. And then he gets in with the people and he puts these glasses on and the rich people or certain different people look really strange. Well, here to find out, when he puts these glasses on, he can tell these alien forms, and the aliens are among us. So I think, anybody ever see that movie? Am I the only one? Yeah, figured. That's the movie that made that that line when he walks into the bank and he says, I'm here to kick butt and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. That's where that famous phrase came from. But I think if we had glasses like that and we could see the spiritual world that's around us, I think we'd be in for a wake-up call, you know. I mean, I don't think you would sing in the shower the same way again, you know. I think the spirit world is all among us. And I know Purcell had preached on ghosts before, and I think if we're believing in the spirit world, because part of the Godhead is in the spirit. And of course, the spirit really doesn't speak to us in the Bible like God has spoken and Jesus has spoken. There's no the Spirit said this or that. But Jesus talked about him. In Matthew 12, he talked about the Spirit of God, and I cast out demons. It also says, blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And, of course, that goes right with the third commandment, right? Take the name in vain. He will not hold anyone guiltless that does. And then, of course, the Great Commission, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus introduced us, he reintroduced us, I should say, to the Holy Spirit. We also, I think the biggest well-known story that sticks out to me, of course, is when the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples and they start talking in other tongues, and the fire, tongues of fire, looks like tongues of fire above their heads. So it's always a gift when we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that also is sent to us as a comfort. And he intercedes for us. Romans 8 talks about this, 26 through 30. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches his heart knows that the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And now we know those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew and also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and for those whom he called, he also justified, and those to whom he justified is also glorified. So here we see that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And with that, we talk about the whole Old Testament leads up to Christ. And now Christ is getting ready to leave this in his ascension, right? And so it was kind of, the Spirit is sent as like a comfort. Sorry, I'm getting a little dry. And we find this in John 14, 15 through 26. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. When the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, you will know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring the remembrance of that what he has said to you. So how do we know the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us? Is it something that has been with us for so long that we know that he comes and goes, or does he stay with us? Stays with us, doesn't he? When we ask the Father, then he sends the Holy Spirit upon us. I don't think it's meant to be a whole rushing effect, but the Spirit helps us and also prepares us for encounters and that type of thing if we ask him to live in us. So that's about all I had really on the Spirit, because I think we're... Go ahead, Bob. The two little guys on your shoulder, right? Yeah, right.
You're always going to have some more tension. You know, the temptation will be more real to you. You'll realize that, well, it's a temptation. So I think that's not like some people say, well, it's a bad thing. You know, you think of these things. No, that's a good thing. You have that confidence, it'd be a bad thing if it didn't bother you.
Right, right. It would be worse if it wasn't there and you didn't have the little guy, you know, use that scenario, but... Yeah, that intertwined inside you is what you learn from as well, right? Because if you don't have the one and the other, you're not conscious of it either. So yeah, I like that. It's a good point. Well, good. All right. Oh. Say it again, Mom. Sorry. Spirit, yeah. Once you accept God, you're accepting the Trinity, right? Right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. You want to read that, Jordan?
First of all, he, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Secondly, he has been given to me personally, so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. He comforts me and remains with me forever.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's the comfort that he gives us, right? And I'm going to get into that a little bit right now with the Trinity. And I'm going to read the Belgic Confession, Article 8, which is in the back of the Psalter Hymnal. If you want to read along, I'm not sure which page it's on. It's after the I forgot to give page number, but it's right after the Heidelberg Catechism. Oh, sorry. Better? Better? How's that? Better? How's that? Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Sounds good. All right. So Article 8 of the Belgian Confession, that God is one in essence, yet nevertheless distinguishing in three persons. According to this truth and this word of God, we believe in only one God, who is the one single essence, which in the three persons, really, truly, and externally distinct, according to their incommunicable properties, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is the cause, the original beginning of all things visible and invisible. The Son is the Word, wisdom, and image of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is the external power and might proceeding from the Father and the Son. Nevertheless, God is not by this distinction divided into three persons, since the Holy Scripture teaches us that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost have each his personality distinguished by their properties, but in such a wise that these three persons are but the one only God. Hence then it is evidence that the Father is not the Son, nor the Son the Father, and likewise the Holy Ghost is neither Father nor the Son. Nevertheless, these persons thus distinguished are not divided or intermixed. The Father has not assumed the flesh, nor hath the Holy Ghost, but the Son only. The Father has never been without His Son or the Holy Ghost. Therefore, all three co-eternal and co-essential. There is neither the first nor the last. They are all three one in truth, power, goodness, and mercy. And I like it in it to, like a cooling unit, where you have a motor and a fan and a belt. And all three work as one unit. If you're missing one of the components, it's not going to function. And that's kind of how we have with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I thought that was the one that... And also, so, yeah. I think the Trinity is something that's really hard for us to understand unless you're a God-like thinking. But I think we understand enough of what we need to praise Him. So when we pray, sometimes we say, our father. Sometimes we say son. How does that get, how do we pray to the triune God when we use one name or the other? You know what I'm trying to say? Say it again, Andy, a little louder. The only answer in that, because why is that, do you think? Because he's the one that's been put on the right, the seat, right? He's a throne. He's the one that suffered and died. Yeah, good. Yeah, I think any time that we, because if you're praying just to one, you're still praying to all three, because they're all connected and they're all working as one continual Godhead. So. Good. Yeah. Are but one. And yeah, in the solid. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I kind of use that cooling system, right? Because you do have the three different personalities. You have a motor, you have a belt, and you have a fan, but yet there's still one unit, and one is not the other. But they are still the Godhead. Good, thanks. Okay, that's about all I had, actually. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah, it was the Aquafresh. That was when they first came out, yep. Yeah, I remember that, actually. I don't know if I remember all the sermons, but I remember that one. But I think, Dave, you and I were young at that time, so we probably were up front. We were our children up front, yeah. Yeah. A couple years ago. Yeah, right. I agree with that. I don't think we can fully understand it until, and there's more things than that we, but we understand enough of it, as always. He gives us enough that we understand, but, you know, like Purcell said with the Adam, I mean, it was hidden from us for a while until somebody figured it out, and until he wants us to know. We're not going to, I don't think, but it's an interesting study. So, good. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we had this time together. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to go through a very small portion of the Heidelberg Catechism, but we learn about you and your world, and we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you send upon us, and we thank you for this time. In thy name we pray. Amen.